you, Ajahn, for having us again. Very much appreciated. These days, often I hear about understanding as condition for sati. What is understanding that is condition for sati? Is it understanding gained from reading and listening?
What do you mean by any word you just said, like sati? This is the understanding of what everyone word you heard. So what is sati?
Sati is awareness of any reality now.
Is it real?
Yes.
What's the object of awareness of it?
Whatever reality is arising.
Right now.
Right now.
How can there be the understanding of sati right now if there is no studying or hearing at all about different realities now? So I think that we are used to take the word like sati without really understand the actual moment when it arises, to be sure that it's a reality which is not self, but it is conditioned. So if one doesn't have any understanding about sati at all, we just keep on talking about it, not knowing whenever it arises as a reality which is conditioned. So I think that we cling very, very much to words, terms and everything. What about reality right now? One characteristic at a time indicates that there is only a reality appearing to be known as a reality. Not just thinking about whether it's called sati or whether it's not sati. So the understanding is the most important thing, to understand whatever is now appearing as it is. Otherwise, there will be no understanding of anything in life, because life consists of each moment of a reality which appears. For example, we can talk about the circle of birth and death, but what is it in a moment, just in a moment, before we say that today or tomorrow or now? Even we talk about now, there are many realities like seeing, hearing, thinking, so forth. So I think that if we don't mind too much about the terms, but study reality, because each word explains about what is now appearing, in order to have the understanding of what we never used to, its characteristic as a reality. For example, as soon as there is seeing, there is the idea of, I see something. How come to have such thought about something? One is so used to what appears from yesterday or last month or any time until now. No need to think about it as something. Like when one was newly born, no understanding of whatever appears at all. No understanding of sound, no understanding of visible object, no understanding of whatever appears. But day by day, moment to moment, the memory of what is experienced begin to condition the idea of something there. So when we heard about Dhamma, no idea about Dhamma. But the more we heard about Dhamma, and the characteristic of Dhamma comes from the understanding, from listening carefully and not forgetting that now it is appearing, will condition the, what you call, understanding little by little to develop, to know that it's just a moment of that characteristic which has arisen and fallen away instantly. And what is right, the just conventional word for whatever appears, or the true characteristic of a reality which is now appearing.
It's so hard for us to accept little by little.
What about from time of birth up to now? One learns a lot from little by little. We cannot speak instantly as we just newly born. But from hearing and hearing and marking the characteristic of sound in any language will condition the understanding of the tone of sound until as soon as there is hearing, there is the understanding, getting the meaning of that sound instantly. So how come to have the understanding of Dhamma as it is right now without hearing more and more and developing the understanding of it without thinking in terms of word or what we have learned before?
So learning about the characteristic of Dhamma is like learning a language?
Whatever comes from moment to moment, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes in the scriptures it mentions sati as like remembrance in the sense of marking too, right? So
with sati. Oh.
Sati.
Yeah, sati. But you see that there is sanya jetasika,
right,
or remembrance with each moment of citta, but not always sati with it.
So, and when we learn a language, that's done with sanya, mm-hmm, not with sati. So
no.
What can you describe more what the difference between sati and sanya then?
Yeah, because sati has to be the wholesome, mm-hmm, reality. When one thinks about yesterday, it's not sati. Mm. It's only vitakka cetasika, not sati. That's why from his perfection of wholesomeness through his life as being bodhisattva, can condition the understanding of everything, which people just cannot understand it as it is. For example, they're seeing now, who knows, that it's a reality, it's conditioned. With our conditions, there will never be seeing or visible object appearing right now, who knows. And in a citta, how many cetasikas arise with it and performing the function of each citta, not the other citta, not cetasika, not other cetasika at all. Who knows?
It seems
so sati is not pasa.
Yeah.
It's not vedana, it's not sanya, it's not other cetasika. It's that which arises with wholesome cetasikas, which condition the wholesome citta. Because citta itself cannot be wholesome or unwholesome at all. It's neutral. But it is akusala, when akusala cetasika arise with it, or it is kusala citta when wholesome cetasikas arise with it.
Well, what about sanya?
Sanya can be akusala sanya,
yeah,
kusala sanya, vipaka sanya, and kriya sanya, according to citta at that very moment.
But sanya needs sati to be kusala, right?
There are 19 cetasikas, 19 wholesome cetasikas there, whenever wholesome citta arises, nothing is missing. Mm. Otherwise, there can never be kusala citta.
It seems though that sati, in a conventional sense, is so close to sanya, except that it's kusala. It's hard to know what's different.
No, because you see that what's right and what's wrong. Can sanya know what's wholesome and what's unwholesome? Can sanya know?
Well, sanya can remember what it's been told.
Just remember.
Mm.
Just remember. Now it remembers, it marks whatever is object. That's all.
So sati knows intuitively if, like, sati is there when this kusala
is. There are many levels of sati. When akusala citta arises, sati is not there, right? But whenever kusala citta is there, it's sati and other wholesome cetasikas arising together. Otherwise, there's not conditions for kusala to arise, and sati is one.
Maybe I'll pick up on what Rabu was saying, because I've heard a lot recently about sanya, and I find it very difficult. Sometimes when you talk about sanya, you talk about sanya developing, and I'll just read something that I have here. That's why we can see the important role of sanya. Sanya keeps coming with the thinking of things, but not sanya of Dhamma. That's why we're developing sanya of Dhamma. And the proof is whether there are conditions for awareness now, and it proves whether the sanya is firm enough to condition moment of awareness. And when I read that, I almost sounds like sanya is like panya, and that it's developing closer and closer to dhammas rather than concepts.
One will not deny that citta and cetasikas arise and fall away instantly. So how can there be the very precise understanding of each one as it is without better and better right understanding? So when we talk about sanya, it's only a name for a reality which remembers. You know what appears now? That is sanya, which knows. And citta experiences by just seeing it. And passa, just contact, or whatever you use that word for, passa. And no sati, when there is no kusala realities arising with that moment. Are you thinking of giving before with what kind of citta? It's my kusala, or it's just a reality? And that which thinks without memory, can it think about that? But it can think without sati, when it's unwholesome thoughts.
And sanya is just performing its function of assisting in
as
the development of
memory.
Understanding. Yes. So when we say sanya is developing, it's understanding that's developing
what
with
kind
sanya.
Of sanya develops? Akusla, akusla? See, when we talk about realities, sanya just performs its function as remembering what is heard, and also the meaning of it too.
Sometimes when we ask about sanya, and I think some of us, quite often I hear we have trouble understanding sanya, and on one occasion when John asked, you just said, do you know Nina? And sometimes that's enough.
I think that we try so much to know everything, like sanya and sati, but they are now performing the function with their conditions for their arising. No one can stop it's their arising at all. So now there is no one except realities, citta and cetasikas perform their functions.
And everything becomes easier when we understand that. Last time I met you, I was asking so many questions about sila, and I believed that by perfecting sila, and that there would be better conditions for understanding to develop. And now I think I understand a bit better that it's any reality that arises.
When there's more, excuse me, when there's more understanding, can there be better sila? Rather
yes.
than trying to have sila in order to have better understanding.
Yes, I understand that a bit better now.
And at moment of understanding, is it not sila?
Yes, it's sila.
Mm-hmm. Different ones.
And calm as well.
Right.
And all. And aloba, yes. With every moment of kusala.
Aloba, adosa.
Mm-hmm. So there is detachment from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica would like to ask a question.
Also, can you just talk about sati? About knowing what's right, what's wrong. So the function of knowing what's right, what's wrong, of what's presently arising, is it the function of sati or is the function of panya?
Whenever sati arises, it can arise with all levels of kusala, without sanya, or with, excuse me,
without
panya, or without, or with panya. It depends.
But sati itself, can he tell what's right, what's wrong? Sati itself, can he know? Or if the function is just to know, presently arising reality?
At moment of giving, do you know what's right or what's wrong?
Yes.
At the moment of giving, just give, they know what's right and what's wrong.
I might know.
But sati is there.
Mm-mm.
So the object of sati is giving. Not forget to give what everyone can. because one has many, many things to give, but there is no giving. See? It shows that sati does not arise by way of giving. But when there is the idea or such thinking about giving away, what is there which reminds or which condition such thinking to give? So it's sati, not panya.
Right. I just reflect this, what just happened just 5-10 minutes ago. When I offer, I give you a gift, my understanding of sati is I don't think the sati was there the whole time. It was just the goodwill. It's just wishing the other person.
And it's you. See, but it's not you, it's sati.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying that is a wholesome mind. There are wholesome mind there. But the awareness was not there the whole time. That's what I'm just remembering. From
yeah, it depends on what you mean by awareness, at what level too.
Mm-hmm.
For example, at level of giving, it's aware of giving, mm-hmm. not of a characteristic which is not self.
Mm-hmm.
Different levels too, of all dhammas.
So are you saying for all the wholesome mind state, sati is there?
Mm-hmm.
Always.
One of the 19
always
jetasikas.
I see, okay. Another question about sati is, I heard many people saying when I'm in the bathroom taking a shower, if I trip over or I bump into someone on the street, that shows there's no sati.
And what do you think?
I don't think so.
So what citta is there?
Huh?
What citta is there when there is no sati?
What citta is there? Akusala citta.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean if I make a mistake physically, that means it has to be akusala, unwholesome?
At this moment, after seeing, what citta is there?
Just seeing.
After seeing?
Just seeing.
No, after seeing, because seeing consciousness has arisen and fallen away. What follows?
There could be like dislike, you know.
Like dislike all the time?
Mm-hmm.
So, akusala all the time.
Mm-mm.
Unknowingly.
Mm.
It's so fast, so very rapidly.
But if there's no like dislike, then.
Ignorance.
Okay, so mm-hmm. there's akusala.
Mm.
Okay.
So, from having akusala after all these experiences, from having a kusala, there can be some type of kusala when panya develops.
Mm-hmm.
Until after seeing and hearing, neither kusala nor a kusala could arise. It's kirya citta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
right.
It indicates that there must be so strong or very high developed panya.
Mm-hmm.
To really have such citta follow seeing and hearing. Because the arahata does not have akusala, does not have akusala after seeing.
Mm-hmm.
How great panya is there
mm-hmm.
to really eradicate akusala from after seeing and hearing and
mm-hmm.
so forth. So all depends on panya, right understanding.
Okay. About this bumping into someone, I use an example. So I'm not convinced that it's a kusala. For example, if I'm thinking of Dhamma while I'm walking, so I bump into someone. So it's careless, you know, negligent of body or current movement or direction. But the mind is thinking about a question I'm going to ask for.
A kusala.
It's still
a kusala. Whenever it's not kusala and not kriya like aharta, it must be. Akusala.
But her question is that we know that most of the time akusala is arising as soon as they're seeing and hearing. So whether we're sitting here or sitting in the restaurant without bumping into anyone or whether we're bumping into anyone, it's going mostly akusala. But there can be awareness and there is awareness from time to time. So even when one's bumping into someone, awareness can arise.
Can awareness arise without right understanding at the moment of experiencing an object, not thinking or doing something?
No.
Sariputta, when he was an arahat, his robe came up showing part of his waist. He didn't realize he'd put his robe on a little bit wrongly. Is that akusala? It's against the Vinaya.
He is, right? He's negligent.
Sariputta, he's an
arahat. I know, but I'm just concluding from why here from Suchi, right? So that's why I want to clarify my understanding. So I'm also convinced it's not akusala all the time. Because if I'm reflecting Dhamma, the mind is wholesome, but I bump into someone.
Not at the same time?
Not at the same time. Mm-hmm. So the bumping seeing into
now,
someone, that's
excuse
time.
Me, seeing now arises and fall away all the time.
Seeing?
Arising and fall away all the time. Like other realities.
Just this question. Thinking about Dhamma and eating at the same time. Mm. Is the eating kusala because you're thinking about Dhamma?
Sometimes not. Because it's not at the same time, right?
Well, that's the question. They appear to be at the same time, but are they really at the same time? So the question is, if you're thinking about Dhamma and eating, does the fact you're thinking about Dhamma make the eating? Mm-hmm. And enjoying the eating, does that make it kusala? Mm-hmm. Surely not.
Okay. Yeah, it depends on the mind. What the mind is doing, not the body, that's what I'm saying.
Right. It's not really about whether someone bumps or not, I think, is it? Mm-hmm.
Anytime.
Anytime.
Yeah. Most of the time, I kusala.
But even while bumping into someone, hardness, visible object, there can be awareness anytime at all, which is what you thought.
But it's a good question because people, in a conventional sense, say, oh, you don't have awareness, you forgot your keys, you dropped, you tripped or whatever. It shows you have lack of awareness. I remember a monk telling me, oh, I went to a talk by a Buddhist professor on Abhidharma, but at the end of the talk, he forgot to do something. He couldn't remember where his book had been, where he put his book. And that showed me that theory is, he had no awareness. Because people, they think it's an indication, having a good memory or being outwardly calm, they think it's an indication of actual sati, where it's not really, I don't think. Is that right, Ajahn?
And take that even further, people think that if they are thinking about Dhamma and doing an action, then that makes the action kusala, because thinking about Dhamma. But that's not really how it works at all, because there's so many different things going on at the same time. And even thinking about Dhamma is not necessarily kusala, for that matter. It depends how one's thinking about Dhamma. But if you think about Dhamma for the purpose of making the action kusala, then that would be certainly not
kusala.
Certainly not kusala.
Some people do good deeds and want result. They want return or wants recognition or wants
give a firm example, Jessica, so we can understand exactly.
Okay, let's say I do dana, right? So many people do dana, and then they want.
What do they do when they do dana? What do you mean by do dana?
For example, I offer money. I build something, and then to me, I want people thinking I'm good, I'm generous.
Well, that's so obvious that's not kusala, right? When you're thinking like that, can't
exactly,
you?
That's the wrong intention. But the act of doing dana, actually, the whole process, I cannot say, so my question is, I cannot say the intention, motivation was incorrect, it's a kusala. But in the whole process, I mean, each moment is independent.
Different cheetahs.
Right. So we shouldn't say the whole thing is wrong. Mm. There's no. Right.
Okay, you go to the temple and you give some money, and you bow down to the Buddha statue and make a wish sort of thing. And you're saying there's a lot of akusala there because you're hoping to get a good reward, good luck in the future. Is that right?
Similar. I'm just saying
if I'm doing good deeds, for example, dana, giving money, for the wrong intention, I want recognition, I want people to think highly of me, I'm generous, that's wrong intention.
But somewhere there's good, somewhere in there was kusala when you were giving the money,
right.
You mean?
That's what my belief.
Yeah,
right.
Different
is that
moments.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
There's some kusala in there?
If there wasn't any kusala, you couldn't perform the deed. So different moments, different intentions.
Well, I'm not sure if there's any kusala, though, in some cases. If you're really, that's your real motivation, is just to get recognition. Is there any kusala?
I think that we are talking about situation, not about dhamma.
Yeah.
Or citta, because citta arises and falls away so fast. And in order to really understand it, there should be the very careful study. Otherwise, we mix all cittas together in a situation. For example, now, you said that you went to the temple. What arises after seeing anywhere, anytime, not just there? Because there is the idea of temple. What about now? No temple, but what is now? See, only thinking. But before thinking, when there is no understanding of seeing, it indicates that how we can imagine the amount of ignorance about that which is now appearing. See?
And Lopa, I think hearing you talk about the dome of Lopa, I'll never forget that, or the sea of Lopa rising up at all times, and just a few very rare openings in that. But there are openings, of course, but I think they're very rare.
And without ignorance, can there be Lopa? And people just don't think about ignorance. They just want to, not having Lopa, not having dosa. But what conditions the lopa and dosa? As long as there are conditions for their arising, they have to arise.